Kelly Leonard is here, Vice President of Creative Strategy, Innovation, and Business Development at the Second City, and the host of Getting to Yes And. It's a podcast you can get here at WGNRadio.com. Hi, Kelly Leonard.
Hi, John. It's great to be here.
I was just complaining to my producer, Pete, the other day. Where's Kelly Leonard? I haven't talked to him in a while. And
been busy.
As the best storyteller in town, I always enjoy your conversations. What have you been busy doing?
Well, you'll find this, I think, kind of funny. I am now a board member for the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce.
Mm.
Do you know the comedy term fish out of water?
Yeah, I don't know if I think more of you or less of them as a result of that.
I think that is the perfect tension. It is, yes. So that at the very first meeting, a guy comes up to me, and I didn't have my name tag on. And he comes up and goes, oh, are you the Second City guy? And I'm like, yeah, how'd you know? And then I look around, like, everyone's got a suit.
Yeah, and you have the clown nose.
Basically. The equivalent of a clown nose is jeans right. At the Chicagoland Chamber. Even the women were in suits. But actually, it's been really, really interesting. So one of the first events I went to, they had Richard Edelman come up and talk, you know, Edelman PR. Do you know about this Edelman Barometer of Trust that they do every year?
Oh, yes, I've heard about it.
Yeah. So he was giving a presentation. So they survey, it's like 28 countries, it's over like 30,000 people to talk about, you know, how trust is playing out in the country. And in this particular thing that sort of stuck out to me was they talked about an area of the United States of America that has the least trust around technological innovations. You want to guess where that is?
The local population does not trust technological innovations,
yeah.
Doesn't trust technology. I'm going to guess West Virginia.
No, it's the Midwest.
Hmm.
It's us. And in particular, Detroit and Michigan, because the jobs were taken from them. So the factories, the car factories, and many other places. That shocked me. I live in the Midwest. I don't think of that. But that was an incredible insight.
I guess that makes sense. All those men and women that were making cars now are either being asked to make different kinds of cars with more technology, and fewer people will be making them. It's a threat to their livelihood.
Yeah, and Ohio too, right? Yeah. And it does make sense when you think it through. So this has been interesting too. And I did expect when I was going in there that it was going to be all business. But we had someone from the Greater Food Depository come and talk to us. They were doing amazing work in the city of Chicago. So it really, like, don't judge a suit by its cover. I really enjoyed learning from these folks. And they did a cool thing for me. They started a women's business council, and my friend Jen Costner was involved with it at the chamber. And I was about to interview my friend Allison Fregale, who's a professor at the University of North Carolina. So they sponsored a live podcast taping at the Second City. It just went up last week on the podcast. And Allison's got a new book, which is called Likeable Badass, How Women Get the Success They Deserve.
What does the second half of that mean?
It's a leadership book for women. And she thought very...
But it seems to me... Pardon me.
Yeah, go ahead.
If I may, it would seem to me that the problem has been that women have not been getting the success they deserve.
Well, I think that's what she thinks. And what her research showed us is that women need to be likable badasses. So the idea here is around things like status and power. And one of the observations, and it's backed up by science that she's done, is that people concentrate on power a lot when they really should focus on status. You can have power and zero people can respect you. But the thing about status is it's something that other people actually give you. And then the key idea inside this book is, and I think this is not just true for women, but in particular, that successful women, being a likable badass, you need to be warm and assertive at all times. You need to be those two things.
Was that Kamala Harris last night?
I think it was.
I didn't ask you to come in and talk about that,
no.
But I'm trying to pull up images of somebody who is warm, likable, but assertive.
Knows their stuff. You feel they're competent. They're going to get the thing done. But in the case of Kamala, she has a great smile, and she's got an easy laugh. Now, Allison does not have that. The story she tells on herself in the book is... there was a meme that came out, and she had a former student send that to her and go, oh, this is you. And it was called a resting bitch face.
RBF.
RBF. She actually says in the book, I have given up on smiling. It's not what I do. But you know what? There are other ways for you to be warm. And in her particular way that she's warm is she's funny and she swears a lot.
That does cut the tension sometimes.
It does.
I'm also thinking of Lori Lightfoot, who was utterly competent, but was never really warm.
She's not warm. No.
And I wonder if that, well, this is no great revelation, is it? That hurt her in her reelection campaign. It hurt her in ability to govern the city.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it is harder for women than men, and that's not fair. But as Allison brings up, like, if you're going to just focus on fair, you're not going to get very far. So you can focus on things in the room like being warm and assertive. And one of the things, too, that she says, if you have to pick between the two, you probably want to pick warm.
Really?
Well, you'll keep your job.
What a compromise, though.
It is. But you don't have to compromise. And this is the thing. This comes up all the time with the people we interview, but also with the work at Second City and the way we take improv into businesses, which is, I think our culture in particular is always looking for the single path, the one thing. I just need to be this. And you don't. You got to be many things. You got to be able to pivot. You got to be agile. You have to juggle those things. And improvisers have to do that all the time because there's no script. But there's no script in life either.
Yeah. It would seem to me like assertiveness is something that would be more easily taught or learned. Warmth is probably a heavier lift for people that don't have it naturally.
I think so. And I think in part because, you know, the whole smile more culture, people are like, well, I don't want to do that. It's like, well, don't do that. They're, like with Allison, she has her techniques. There's other ways to do that, right? Do people favors. That's a way you can do that. You know, grabbing someone a cup of coffee when they don't ask for it. There's all kinds of things you can do to be warm. And you think about this in your, we have this in at Second City, and I'm sure you have it here, which is there's always that person in the office. They maybe don't have a, they probably don't have a big title, but they're the one you go to every day. They're the one you want to talk to every day because they have that level of warmth and they know what's going on because everyone talks to them. And that's a sort of a key, if you can be that person, but then also bring your skills to bear, that's the sort of likable badass formula.
I wonder, maybe you've started to answer that. How can I or people assess how primed for success then they are? How do I know how warm I am? How do I know if I'm being too assertive or not assertive enough? I wonder how you would know to score yourself on that.
A couple things. One, you should practice. Practice your stuff, which we don't often do. Ask people. That's something you can do.
Am I a lovable badass?
Yeah. Am I warm? Could I be warmer? Ask people. I think this is another thing that comes up, which is people generally want you to succeed. This is something that I think about when I go and do public speaking, which I do a lot. It's probably one of the reasons I haven't seen you because I've been on the road so much. But I get up on stage, and if I'm nervous, I just remind myself that everyone in that audience wants me to do well. That no one is in that audience saying, I hope you screw up and bore me. So the idea of relying on your community and asking for help, these are all things that can endear you to others.
I'm continuing to pull up images of people in my head as you talk, and another one is my niece, Lauren, who is a very bright and attractive girl. And I remember once she just kind of conceded, and I don't remember how it came up. She goes, I have RBF and I can't help it.
Yeah.
She says, and people will see pictures of me and they'll go, what's the matter? Or why are you down? Or I believe these were her words, something along the lines of, well, you look like such a bitch.
Yeah.
And she goes, and I'm not. And in fact, she's very funny. She's got a great wit about her. But when you see her, she kind of looks a little dour.
Yep.
And she makes light of it. And I don't know that it's been a great impediment to her, but at least she's aware of it, you know?
Yeah. Allison does talk about humor being a tool that you can use for this. And she talks about the aspect of there's a strong relationship between humor and status. And people who have high status actually engage in more humor. And men use humor more than women,
yeah.
Generally speaking.
Yeah, well, boy, it does seem to be that the path is paved more easily for men with these kinds of traits you're talking about. Rahm Emanuel, back to the mayors of Chicago, was assertive. He wasn't warm,
no.
But he was funny.
He was funny.
And he cut the room with coarse language.
Yep.
And that sort of worked for him,
didn't it? It did work for him. Yeah, no, and you know, and I know Rahm, and yeah, he's not warm, but you know that guy, he came to Second City all the time.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He loved comedy.
To watch the shows,
yeah.
not to be in
not to politic. No. So I think that look, and humor isn't necessarily easy, but I think one of the reasons so many people come to Second City to train, because our training center, thousands of people train. There's only like 150 of those people who are in the program to hopefully get on the stage. The rest of those people are there for other reasons. And I think a lot of that is, how can I show up better in a room?
Kelly Leonard is here, vice president over at Second City. Getting to Yes And is his podcast. So, Likeable Badass, How Women Get the Success They Deserve is the title of a book by your friend, Allison, is it Fragale?
Fragale.
Fragale. And so is this the podcast as well then? Did you talk to her for your podcast?
Yeah, we taped it live at Second City for the Chamber of Commerce. And that crowd was, it was a woman's group. So it was mostly women in the room, but not exclusively. And it was interesting too. I finished the book. And I asked, because it was not published yet, but they had galleys, you know, the sort of pre-printed ones. And I asked Allison if I could have three more galleys because I wanted to give them to my bosses, which I did.
What's the message when you give this book to a boss?
So I gave it to Ed, who's our CEO, who's a man. And I felt that was important because almost all the other leaders at the Second City right now are women. And I gave the other two copies to women in our organization in particular. She's going to kill me for talking about it. But our COO, Parisa Jalili, who is a likable badass.
But I'm wondering, my question is, yeah, if you give that to somebody, do you circle likable or assertive? You know, like, here's the one you need to work on. I wonder if there's a message when you give this to somebody.
Well, of course, this is me at Second City, and everyone just jokes, oh, Kelly read a book. So that's
what does that mean? You don't read a lot of books?
No, because I read a ton of books.
That's what I mean.
I talk about constantly.
Oh, so they're always going, well, Kelly read a book, blah, 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 blah.
But I don't give them the book. That's the thing. It's usually me talking about some insight that I think is great. And in this case, it was like, no, read the book, because it's really varied. It's very interesting. And the thing about Allison is it's very practical. Like, she has this whole section on office politics, right? And, like, we all bemoan office politics. And I got a quote from the book, if I could read. She says, by definition, office politics is nothing more than managing relationships at work to gain influence. Yet the term has generally become synonymous with manipulative, undesirable behavior like backstabbing and information hoarding. And it's just like, this is you know, it's what happens. It's you're managing relationships. And then what happens with that sort of focus on office politics as a negative is you get these misleading narratives like what other people think of you doesn't matter. It does. That absolutely what other people think of you matters. I can't control what others think of me, or it's cool not to care what other people think of you. None of those things are true in the way you successfully navigate your time at work.
So it really is a good business objective to become likable at the office.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's seen as you're
soft.
Just sucking up to the boss. It's soft. It's
yeah.
It's not important. You can be likable, but are you getting the job done? But you think this is tantamount to getting the job done?
1,000%. People want to work with people they like to work with. You would not have me on the show as often as you do if I were a jerk.
Yeah, that's maybe true. Well, I guarantee you that's true.
Exactly. And that's true across the board. Yeah. And it's especially true, unfortunately, for women.
So then is there some tips, some steps? Is there a prescription for how to become more likable?
Yeah, she gives, we've talked a few of those in terms of tapping into your humor, doing something nice for someone else, asking advice. People love when you ask them advice.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in a leadership position with someone maybe who is not in a leadership position. That endears you to other people. It's like, tell me what you think. I love that when, you know, our boss Ed or Parisa will walk around and just plop down and be like, what's going on in your day? You know, those things make a difference. And I think, unfortunately, you know, we get so caught up in our spreadsheets and our budgets and our financial statements that we forget of, like, what is the point of work anyway? What is the point of us all coming together and spending our time? Because, you know, we don't have that long, right?
If we're not going to enjoy this, what are we doing here?
Yeah, if we're not going to enjoy it, what are we doing here?
What about being assertive? Does that how do you do that? What's that muscle?
I think that's competence. I think that is do your reading, double check your math, practice. And bring that to bear. Don't be afraid to act.
But also saying no, I thought you were going to suggest, which I think is in conflict in my mind with being super likable sometimes.
No, I mean, sure. But actually, you know, what happens is most people don't say no. There is a social tax to saying no. This is something I've been reading a bunch of. The guy who wrote Yes And is fascinated with No.
Oh, Kelly read a book.
Kelly read a book. And so one of the things, can I tell you about the study? We have time for a quick study?
Yes.
Okay. So Vanessa Bonds, who's in Cornell, did the study. And they brought half the people into the room and they said, okay, can you unlock your phone for me? I'm going to take it outside and do some stuff on it. And if you don't want me to do that, that's fine. It's not going to affect your pay in the study. Almost all those people let the person leave with their phone unlocked. The next group they brought in, they said, okay, can you unlock your phone for me? I'm going to take it outside and do some stuff. But if you don't want me to do that, you just say, Kelly, don't do that. Those people said no. So the idea in the study is that if you want to give someone the ability to say no, you should hand them a script. So this is the difference between the yes and idea, which is when we're making something out of nothing, when we're inventing things together, that's a total yes and space. But we're in other spaces in work, and sometimes we're in spaces where you want the person across from you to know they don't have to say yes to this.
And you want them to be honest.
You want them to be honest.
But it's hard for them to do that if the power dynamics are such that you're on top and they're down below. You need to literally, as you said, hand them the script.
The script to say no, and guess what? That makes you warm.
And that doesn't prime the pump in one direction or another necessarily.
No.
If it's non-threatening to them or a good idea, they may well say yes.
They're absolutely going to say yes. Yeah. And you know, that's like trust yourself. Trust that your ideas are good enough. But you give someone the script to say no. And I was taken by that concept and realizing these human dynamics, these human communication dynamics are complex. And we don't often, we're too busy in our day to necessarily think about these things, which is why the gift of this podcast for me is I get to think about them and then try them out in the office. And I've been doing that. I've been giving people the opportunity to say no, and it's worked out really well.
So Second City just must hum like a top, huh? Not a problem in the world there. Everything goes great.
Oh, absolutely not. Which is, I know what you were saying. No. And guess what? So I don't know if I've told you this, but when I go to speak to groups, I say, raise your hand if you've ever worked at some place you describe as functional. No one has ever raised their hand.
As functional. Yeah. As functional.
Doesn't exist.
Well, maybe this will help. Likeable Badass, How Women Get the Success They Deserve. Allison Fregale. Kelly Leonard talked to her. Kelly is, of course, a member of the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce now. I'm going to start a GoFundMe page to buy him a tie.
I'm not going to wear it.
It's good to see you, Kelly.
Good to see you.